From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruriak. PG&E has issued an all-clear now for Butte, Plumas, Shasta, Tehama, and Trinity counties. The company says power has been restored to 73% of its customers who were impacted by the latest public safety power shutoff. However, that means nearly 500,000 people are still without power, so you might still be in the dark at this hour. You can find a power shutoff map and a place to plug in your address on our website. That's capradio.org. And now to the fires. The winds pushed the Getty Fire forward in Los Angeles. There is a new fire in the south today near the Ronald Reagan Museum. Meanwhile, the Kincade Fire in Sonoma and Napa counties here in the north is in day six. And on the phone with us is CAL FIRE's Deputy Director, Mike Moeller. So, Chief Moeller, thanks again for making time for us.
As always, Beth, thank you.
Would you give me the status of the Kincade Fire today and tell me about the impact of the winds overnight?
Absolutely. So right now, Kincade Fire is just over 78,000 acres. We're happy to report, though, we're at 30% containment. The winds were a concern last night. We had small growth on the fire. Firefighters were able to hold it back from what we consider wind testing, so I would consider overnight a success. Red flag warning in that area till 4 p.m., but the winds have subsided in that area, so now we're just dealing with that low humidity. Still, cautiously optimistic on what Mother Nature has for us for the rest of the day on the Kincade.
Tell me about the direction of the fire's growth today, and are you anticipating any new evacuations?
Well, right now, speaking with the operational command on the Kincade, we're seeing which way it's going to push. It was pushing, again, back on itself overnight as the winds subsided. But we're looking to see where the winds are going to go today. Our main concern is to continue to increase that containment line around the full perimeter of the fire and getting people, obviously, back to their homes.
So let's talk a bit about the new fire that's being fought in Southern California in Simi Valley. What do you know about that one?
So this is called the Easy Fire. It's up over 400 acres. This is under the command of Ventura County Fire with assistance of CAL FIRE and local government cooperators. That area, unfortunately, has seen significant fire history in the past years. As your listeners have heard, it's just below the Ronald Reagan Library. And there is a lot of residential areas in that immediate vicinity. A priority, obviously. The big concern right now is we are into a red flag in that area with very high winds. And unfortunately, that valley through there can see some very strong gusts. So priority, boots on the ground, Ventura, very aggressive on it right now. And hopefully, fingers crossed, we can keep it out of neighborhoods and at a small size.
So this is being called, Chief, an extreme red flag warning, which is rare if it's ever been issued before. And the estimate is that about 26 million people are at risk. So I think we should say more about that for people who might not be there but have family or friends or coworkers who are in Southern California.
Beth, you're absolutely right. And as you can see from Governor Newsom's administration, issuing a state of emergency, not just for an event, but really a storm of back-to-back fire weather conditions. We have seen extreme red flag conditions. It's been a while. But yes, if you have any family, friends, neighbors, what have you, this is where it really comes down to the importance of evacuation. Unfortunately, not foreign to California, large devastating wildfires, but if you're asked to leave, do so early, but get in contact with your family members, check on your neighbors. Don't wait for us to give you the announcement. Do it early. So one, the safety is our priority of the public, but two, so we can get resources in there to protect your property.
And again, this is in Southern California. It is considered an extraordinary threat due to the intense Santa Ana winds, the gusts up over 75 miles per hour in some of the forecasts. So I do want to separate that that's different from what's happened here in the north. And our winds, Chief, and add to the forecast of this, are supposed to be decreasing as the day progresses.
Absolutely, Beth. So what you're seeing now as far as the extreme red flag is the southern portion of the state, really from Santa Barbara all the way to San Diego is what we're looking at as far as the red flag, existing red flags. In Northern California, just speaking with the National Weather Service part of this interview, speaking with our partners there, we will be under the influence of a red flag till about 4 p.m. today. But for the next 7 days after, it looks like some tranquil weather, no rain in the forecast, but still no fire conditions. So two separate. We're really, again, Southern California is just entering into almost what we just had. So still, everybody needs to be cognizant of when we have open fire line on the Kincaid, but also our friends in Southern California need to be aware they're about to get hit with a large windstorm.
One last note, and this has to do with the Getty fire. I don't know if you saw, Chief, the video of the tree branch falling on the power line. It's dark video that a commuter took in the morning, and it sparks, kind of a big shower of sparks that come up over that situation. And there's talk that perhaps that was the beginning of the Getty fire. Can you say anything about this?
That fire is under the command and jurisdiction of the Los Angeles City Fire Department. Very aggressive fire attack, what we saw in the Getty Fire. I have seen the video, but again, I would leave that to Los Angeles City Fire Department's investigators, as they are, from the moment that fire started, I'm sure they were on it. So really, I can't comment on it, but I have seen the video, and I'm sure that LA City Fire is on top of that.
Okay, Chief, again, always very happy to have your information and your time with us on Insight.
Thank you, Beth.
That is CAL FIRE's Deputy Director, Mike Moeller. The topic of breaking away from PG&E and finding a way out of power shutoffs was the focus of a public meeting in Nevada City last night. Pascal Fussholer is on the phone right now. She's the co-editor of the news source Ubinet. And Pascal, it's good to hear you back on Insight. Hello.
Hello, Beth. Good morning.
So, tell me about the intense interest in Nevada City, Grass Valley, about forming its own power grid. And are you without power today?
Yes, I am talking to you right now. I am sitting in my car in front of California Organics, one of the many businesses that has been affected. And we are waiting actually for State Senator Dolly to come up and make some remarks. But right now, yes, we have been out of power since, Saturday, I believe it was Friday or Saturday. Yes. But yesterday's meeting at the Nevada Irrigation District, it was to explore maybe taking back local control of power generation and distribution. So Remna Schertzinger, the general manager for NID, said it's about local control. It's about taking back the opportunity to decide how we as a community want to run our power system. And the NID board meeting room holds 85 people, but it was packed, the overflow room. There were over 200 people that were attending that meeting, and then they live stream portions of it, and the whole thing will be available later on. But it was really interesting to see Nevada County has a lot of local solar power companies. And there was a convergence between those solar power providers and the irrigation district, which generates power through hydro, and the public, and everybody agreed that the current situation with the five, six public safety power shutoffs and the impacts on the community are no longer tenable. And the NID board will explore the possibility of becoming a power provider, because unlike water districts, water agencies, irrigation districts, way back when were actually granted the by law, can actually become power providers. This is going to be it's going to be a long process. It's going to be very interesting to see if Nevada Irrigation District and a large portion of Nevada County could become one of the first counties, if not the first county, to be a 100% renewables and also local control. It's going to be very interesting. We have a few interesting years ahead of us.
Pascal, this wasn't just prompted by the recent public safety power shutoffs, though. Isn't there a history up there of struggling with the threat of wildfire, the power shutoffs, and
yes,
people having to become accustomed to an alternative?
Yes, Nevada County has had its fair share of wildfires or impacts of large wildfires nearby, and we had major, this time around, this year, we had six public safety power shutoffs so far, and we had some last year, and of course, 2 years ago, when the same night that the Wine Country fires broke out, Nevada County experienced the wind complex with two fires that also destroyed homes and impacted the whole power situation. power and water, because in these rural areas, 50% of homes have a residential well. And when you don't have power, you don't have water, which, of course, at the height, at the peak of the high fire season, is an incredibly dangerous situation.
We just heard from Trish, who is in the Auburn Newcastle area yesterday. Without water, she ended up going to the fire department to get containers of water to be able to take care of her animals. And
yes.
I was with the Auburn Rotary Club yesterday. Every single hand went up in terms of who had experienced either a problem with power outages or fire. And yet, being able to buy PG&E's equipment and then expand on it, which I guess is what your area would need to do, can be challenging and expensive. Did the crowd last night seem to be in some consensus about going forward with that, no matter what the challenges?
Interestingly enough, yes, there was a large consensus that it is a solution that needs to be explored, but they want the district to move forward with this. And also the city of Nevada City also has expressed interest as a municipality to be a part of this. So we'll see how these discussions go. There's going to be a special meeting next week of the NID board to make a decision to if they want to tackle this and instruct their staff to go forward with it. But it was it was literally, people said, well, we want literally power to the people. Give it back. It was interesting because NID, there's some controversy about a proposed dam, and NID has its detractors, but last night there was general consensus that, yes, we want to do this, and please move forward.
Meanwhile, what are people doing to navigate around the loss of power?
It's interesting because we have, for example, the schools are affected by this. All our schools are, first they were on fall break, but yesterday and today, school is out. So that's, now there are impromptu daycares that spring up in neighborhoods with, yes, hey, we have a generator, bring all the kids over. The restaurants and some of them, they all have bought, you see brand new generators everywhere. And they are sitting outside, and then you'll see the business owners refilling them, and people stop by and it's like, hey, yeah, no, if you use this, and let me tell you, this model is good, but you should have gotten that one. Nevada County is relatively small, population of about 100,000, and there is a very strong sense of community. There are the local radio station, KVMR, the community radio station, they are answering phones and questions, and people stop by, drop off food. The same thing with the various food banks that are supplementing a lot of, because our local grocery stores do not have generators. So it is hard for people to shop. It is hard for people that don't get the hours they need. And so the uncertainty is also really, really taking a toll on people. It's all, the uncertainty tax is really high.
PG&E is saying that power restoration has begun and will continue throughout the day. Have you had any notices of power going back on in your area, Pascal?
No, not yet. But this morning around 7:30 a.m., I saw a whole fleet of PG&E vehicles on Highway 49 fanning out to do the inspection, these light inspections. And again, with the rural nature of the county, it's going to take a while. And we did have very strong winds on Saturday night. So it would not surprise me if there would be damage, which then, of course, will delay the restoration. But it's interesting because both, for example, Sierra College, the Nevada County campus of Sierra College, I was talking with Dean Stephanie Ortiz, and she said they had power and also a community resource center at Sierra College for the public to one of the charging stations. She said, well, we literally figured we have to be the port in the windstorm. And as far as county government, yes, they were very concerned because we also experienced a loss of connectivity. Both landlines and cell phone and voice over IP phones went out, which created an incredible hazard because when people can't call 911 when a fire starts, water and you can't call 911. So it is really the worst situation possible.
Well, you have given testimony to the value of Ubinet as a news source, and you in particular, Pascal. And by the way, let us congratulate you on a 20th anniversary, I think it was last week, for Ubinet.net.
Ubinet, yeah, we turned 20 on October 16th. We had a celebration planned, and, well, power outage.
Oh.
But we will have the celebration, and I have to say we are incredibly grateful as well to our readers because some people, they know no phones. Hi, I drove into town to send you this. Thank you for the updates. We can check it. Thank you for the updates. And the pecan pies that arrive all of a sudden at the house, like, hey, you guys need some sugar. Here, I baked you a pecan pie. I mean, hey, it's pretty amazing. So we are incredibly grateful. And yes, 20 years.
All right. Well, let me clarify. Are you Ubinet.com?
Yes, we are Ubinet.com.
All right. Well, Pascal, congratulations. Thanks for the update. And we'll stay in touch. I hope the power comes back soon.
Me too. Thank you.
That was Pascal Fussholer, co-editor of the news service Ubinet. We've posted a link to the website on our website, and there's another link there. There is yet another opinion piece about California's wildfire crisis published in the New York Times. This is from yesterday, so you can find that as well at capradio.org/insight. Up next, PolitiFact California taking a closer listen to something said by Mayor Daryl Steinberg in our recent Insight conversation. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio.
With a mystery just around the bend.